This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the morning run continues. Melissa Idris, Julian Ng, and myself, Sharad Kutin, with the top business stories of the day. We'll first turn our attentions to the southern tip of the peninsula, like slightly beyond the southern tip of the peninsula, Singapore, where some ex-traders have been found guilty of cheating Deutsche Bank and HSBC.
Well, two former currency traders from Deutsche and HSBC, they've been convicted of cheating the banks by making false trades. I'm not going to name them, but you can find their names in their reports. They've admitted to using their bank accounts in 2009 to get preferential rates on the dollar. So essentially, these two guys were buying and selling more than $1 billion in trades, and they were unlawfully making about 370,000 Sing dollars. Now, when I was looking at this, I was like, wow, $1 billion. Did no one see this coming? That's a lot of money to be trading, to be buying and selling, and have been completely under the radar.
So the question is whether $1 billion Sing dollars is really a big deal. If you look at the average daily turnover reported in the Singapore foreign exchange market, you're talking about a trade value of US $500 billion a month.
So this was just a fraction
of it.
This is
a drop in the ocean. Okay. But it's big for the individual traders themselves. And that's why they got that sentencing from the Singapore authorities. And also, this is happening at a time as President-elect, soon to be President of the United States, Donald Trump is dismantling a lot of laws to instill financial discipline. For example, the Dodd-Frank Act. Trump and his associates have promised to reverse a lot of the progress made as far as that is concerned. And I think this will come as a kind of effrontery to the people who have been calling for justice in the banking sector.
Can I just a question of perception and the impressions I have, that there seem to be more of these cases happening in Singapore. Is it that the Singapore authorities are cracking down very hard? That's why you see so much more. It's not that there's just more criminality in the banking system in Singapore. Well, because we don't see as many of these types of stories coming from Malaysia, for instance.
Well, criminality happens everywhere, right? But you're right. I think Singapore is really clamping down hard on financial misconduct. They're trying to, I think, regain that reputation, which is fair enough. They are a financial hub. They want to make sure that their reputation is intact. But if you remember, Sharad, Malaysia, I think we also had one of these rate probes, and Macquarie and ANZ were fined. So it's Macquarie Bank and Australia and New Zealand Banking Group. They had agreed to pay a combined $15 million Aussie dollars in penalties after admitting to attempted cartel conduct relating to setting of Malaysia's benchmark rate back in 2011.
But you know, a fine is very different from a prison sentence, which in this case it is. And Singapore has put away many bankers, incarcerated them. And that is a more serious signal than a feel with a fine, because remember, as Obama exits his presidency, he made a lot of deals with all these other big banks, letting them get away with a few billion of fines here and there, which may be big for the accounts and for the shareholders of such banks, but it's really not sending a strong enough message in the views of many people.
So for the banking sector, fine is not...
It could be a slap on the
jail
wrist.
Jail time is seen a lot harsher than a slap
That's
on
right.
the wrist.
Well, maybe we could introduce Hardy's bill for that, because a slap wrist might actually be... you could take the hands off, couldn't you?
Oh, dear.
You're talking about hooded, right?
Yeah. So moving on, Janet Yellen says nonpartisan Fed will focus on the economy. She, of course, came into criticism during the Trump campaign. She was seen as too, I think, hawkish. Now she's being seen as too dovish.
Trump, during his campaign, would call the Fed highly political. He said, I think he made allegations that Janet Yellen was an Obama appointee. Granted, I think Yellen had some connection to the Obama administration before, but I don't think it's fair to call her an Obama appointee. And then I just want to read the comments coming up from Ms. Yellen. She said that during an era of government reform to serve the public interest, the history of the Fed of making monetary policy without interference of Congress and White House. So she says it's This is a non-partisan institution devoted to fostering a healthy economy free from short-term political pressures. And when I read short-term political pressures, what do you mean? That's a four-year term in the White House. And then I realized, well, the Fed's 100 years old. You know, that's far longer than any tenure of a presidency.
Yeah, and also the conventional wisdom is that the Fed has to be independent, or in fact, any central bank in the world would have to be independent because they are going to handle things like inflation and monetary policy and interest rates, which should be free from political interference. But is this really the case in reality? Even under the Obama administration and Janet Yellen and her predecessors like Ben Bernanke and Alan Greenspan, all these people have at some point in time or another pandered to political pressures. And a lot of people also think that the Fed is highly influenced by the cohorts in Wall Street. So what really is independence?
Well, okay, so let's just not limit this discussion to the Fed, the Federal Reserve in the US. Let's zoom it out to all central banks around the world. I don't envy the job of a regulator or especially a central banker because, you know, you have to also take into consideration political risks, right? I mean, if there's a new president coming into the White House and he's going to change up certain policy, economic policies and trade policies and tariffs and tax, that is going to impact the economy. So you've got to keep an eye on that. And I think it's really difficult to balance being independent and having, you know, the economy, only the economy in mind, but also taking into consideration political factors.
But isn't it true that the Fed's always, or recently said that they want to be data-driven in terms of their decision-making? And that would be different from, so keeping your eye on the data is different from whispers that might come from the White House, might come from Congress, or political statements that are being made, right? It's two different.
I mean, there are so many ways to interpret data. If you really want to think about it, when you see good data, do you push up interest rates because of if you fear that inflation? Or when you see this data, do you say, oh, there's so much inequality in the economy, I need to continue spending more and I need to hand over this large wads of money to the poorer people so that they can spend and improve their lives? So I think it's also a question of independence. I don't believe that there is such a thing as full independence of any central banks.
Do you think that monetary policy should be independent of fiscal policy, or should it be working in tandem with each other? Because if you're talking about monetary policy and fiscal policy working together to boost an economy, then can a Federal Reserve or a central bank ever be truly independent?
I don't know. I think you would have to pose that question to the large swath of people who are very poor in the United States and ask how monetary policy or the bailouts that have happened over the last few years, how it has benefited them more than the banking sector. So a lot of complaints have been leveled that the Fed has only helped the banking sector. All this quantitative easing have only enriched the books of the banks rather than the normal people out there. So I don't know if it can be free of all sorts of influence. I don't know if the central bank can be truly independent.
We'll be back with more business news after this, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.